Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is the other Amy, Amy Seitz with the Alaska Farm Bureau. Good morning, Amy, and welcome.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. A couple of quick Alaska Farmland Trust announcements before we jump in. First, coming up this weekend is the Alaska Food Festival and Conference down in Homer. Huge gathering of Alaska farmers, producers, farmers market managers, foodies, value-added folks, et cetera, et cetera. This is a combo festival between the Alaska Farmers Market Association and the Alaska Food Policy Council. I hear there are just a few seats remaining. So if you were planning to join us in Homer this Friday and Saturday, you better get your ticket right away. I think registration is officially closed, but if you call, I think if you check out one of those websites, the Farmers Market Association or the Food Policy Council, I believe there's a number that you can call and maybe get a ticket at the door. So excited to see all of our fellow foodies down in Homer this weekend, appreciative of the support for that conference. Second quick announcement, Alaska Farmland Trust is one of the many nonprofits that benefits from the Pick, Click, Give program when you apply for your PFD. Just want to remind folks, you've got 1 month left till March 31st to apply for your Alaska PFD, and we hope that you choose to contribute a portion of that PFD to a nonprofit of your choice. Two of my favorites, Alaska Farmland Trust and Radio Free Palmer. So those are my quick announcements. Amy, you've been on the show a few times before, but just in case listeners don't know your story, tell us again how you got to Alaska and your connection to Alaska agriculture outside of the Farm Bureau.
Well, for both of them, I was born in Alaska, born into a homesteading family. So yeah, they just both, I grew up with them and actually still farm on our original homestead.
Very good. And where's that located?
In Soldotna, okay. Just outside of Soldotna. A nice view of Iliamna Redoubt and Spur on a clear day.
Those are coming. It definitely is starting to feel like springtime up here in the valley. Are you guys getting some clearer weather down there? Sunny, warm days?
Oh, yeah. It's not clear today, but it's been really nice in the afternoon. The nice warm sun makes you think that it's time to start planting.
No, it's
and then you
early.
Have to remind yourself that it's not quite time.
Right. And Amy, on your farm there, it's that season. It's not that season for baby plants, but it's a season for baby animals, right? You're one of our many sheep and goat producers in Alaska, right?
I am, and actually I have 18 little lambs running around outside.
Oh my goodness.
We're done with this round of lambing. We have one more batch to go probably April-ish. So,
okay.
But yes, always fun to have the little lambs running around, especially when it's successful and healthy. And
yeah, definite sign of
warm.
Spring for you.
Yeah.
And Amy, you're producing lambs for meat production, fiber production, milk production?
Both. Not, I don't milk.
Okay.
But yeah, meat and fiber.
Okay.
We like to supply the 4-H kids down here on the peninsula with some options.
Okay.
So we do that. They get first pick, and then the remaining market lambs go into people's freezers.
Okay.
And then we pick out the best wool. And luckily, we got a few little ewe lambs, so we'll be able to keep those to refresh, replenish, have some younger ewes.
The next generation.
Yep.
All right. Well, you are joining me on the show today as the executive director of the Alaska Farm Bureau, the statewide organization. So just quickly, tell us a little bit about the history of the Farm Bureau, how long it's been around in Alaska, and why you choose to be involved with that organization.
Yeah, and actually, you know, we're a young state. Our Farm Bureau is also young. I think we were officially formed as the Farm Bureau in 95.
Okay.
Before that, it was the Alaska Stock Growers Association.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as farm bureaus go, we are, I think, the youngest.
Okay.
And I, you know, it's still the largest ag advocacy organization in Alaska.
Absolutely.
And then also nationally. So that's kind of why I chose to get involved. Just, you know, I worked in Juneau. I knew agriculture needed a voice in Juneau.
Absolutely.
So someone needs to speak up for our farmers, and that's kind of why I applied for this job.
Okay. And you've been the executive director of the Farm Bureau for how long?
I said 4 years.
4 years. Okay. Very good. All right.
With all the issues going on, it seems like it's been long.
There have been some hot topics in the last 4 years, and I'm sure we'll get into some of that. You know, you and I were chatting about what all we could cover in today's show, and with just a short half hour, we can't probably cover it all. But, you know, in the last couple times you've been on the show, there have been some hot topics that I still want to kind of give a little bit of an update on, and then perhaps we can touch a little bit on the current budget issues, the scenarios, what we're all talking about behind the scenes is what's going to happen with this budget down in Juneau. And then talk about some of the legislation, proposed legislation, or things we're hearing about that might be proposed as the session continues. So let's start with what I think is probably one of the hotter topics and something that we've spent a fair amount of time on this show, both with you and other guests. But that's the MOV, I always get the name wrong.
Goat issue.
Yeah, the sheep and goat issue. So what is what's the current status of this clean list issue, this, you know, disease that may or may not exist or may not be a threat?
and it's not a disease.
It's not a disease, okay.
Make sure MOV is a pathogen.
It's a pathogen,
so,
okay.
Yeah, not even a disease.
It's like a cold, right?
Not even like a cold.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pathogen, so it provides a pathway for other respiratory diseases.
Look at that.
Hold,
you learn something new every time you listen to Ag Matters Radio. Not a disease, not even a cold. It's a pathway to other sicknesses.
Yeah, and that's the best way I've heard it explained.
Sure, I like it.
But yeah, and that makes it even more confusing why we're focused on this issue when there's other, you know, it should be kind of more of a broad, how can we have healthy respiratory, or, you know, reduce respiratory disease in animals.
But, yeah.
But, I think it's probably been a year since we've talked on your show about MOV.
Okay.
And a lot has come up since then. The study, you know, it's raised a lot of questions.
Sure.
We've gotten a lot of answers, but it's raised a lot of questions. And what we previously assumed to be fact doesn't seem to be fact.
Right.
We've found it in moose, caribou, deer. I think there's a bison that tested positive.
Yeah.
So just the initial assumption that it's only sheep and goat is not true.
And that it's only domestics, also not true.
Yeah, also not true. It's widespread in wildlife.
Yeah.
Up, you know, Brooks Range, the 40-mile caribou herd, which goes into Canada. So yeah, it just...
So the long
about the same prevalence,
yeah.
Livestock.
The long and short of it is that there was this assumption that domestic sheep and goats in Alaska may be introducing this pathogen to wild animals. And from research that was done by Dr. Gerlach and others, we discovered that actually this pathogen is widespread throughout Alaska. There don't seem to be a lot of negative impacts from the pathogen being everywhere. And now we need to ask more questions before we start taking any sort of regulatory or other action on our domestic population, right?
Right. And there's the comment that Western civilization, when we brought domestic animals into the United States, we brought the pathogen with us.
Okay.
But, you know, nobody can say for sure because we weren't testing for MOV back pre-Western civilization. So it could be that it's just been there.
It's just around.
Along.
Yeah. Okay.
But one of the key things to remember is the health of the animal. You have to look at the big picture. What's the stress on the animal, whether it's domestic or wildlife? You know, down in the States, the bighorn sheep that are having a problem, they have reduced habitat, the wildfires, the drought.
Lots
of other
impacts.
The parasite load on all of them is pretty huge. So we don't see that up here.
Right.
It's like they see down there.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good news. On the legislative front this year, I haven't heard of any bills being introduced to make this a hot topic again yet in Juneau. Am I up to speed on that?
There is nothing introduced yet.
Okay.
But we have been told, the Farm Bureau and domestic owners have been told by the Wild Sheep Foundation that they are no longer willing to be at the table talking with us, and they're going to be seeking legislative action.
Well, that's bad news.
So after 3 years of, and from my viewpoint, the domestic owners have given a lot.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it was pretty disappointing. And I think it was our January meeting, they told us they were walking away.
Okay.
So I'm keeping an eye out for any bills coming out.
Okay.
But so far I haven't heard. And that could be because we're in a budget.
Right. Well, a reminder to folks that if they're, you know, concerned about this issue, and if you're involved in agriculture in Alaska, you ought to be concerned with this issue because it's an example of an outside organization threatening action against domestic agriculture or domestic livestock in Alaska. And that's an issue for all of us, even if we are not livestock producers, because it just kind of shows the angle that folks can take when there's not enough information and get legislation past that could have a big impact. So stay tuned, pay attention, shoot Amy Seitz at Alaska Farm Bureau an email if you want to get kind of on the newsletter list and stay up to date with this topic. Quick interruption to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. The other Amy on the line this morning is Amy Seitz with the Alaska Farm Bureau. And we were just talking about the pathogen issue in Alaska. Thank you for clarifying that for me. And like you said, it's kind of been stymied a little bit by all this budget talk. So let's talk a little bit about the budget situation down in Juneau and the impacts that could have on Alaska agriculture.
Yeah, and I don't know about you. I'm sure when you look at the budget, every time you turn around, there's another thought of, oh, yeah, that's going to impact our farmers.
Right.
Like, you know, the property taxes, the obvious cuts to the Division of Agriculture that clearly, you know, remove pretty much all of the support programs.
Right.
And then the dairy program.
Yeah, it's just a slew of bad news.
Yeah. Looking at cuts to education, that's most likely going to fall on the nutrition side of things, which means farmers that have been able to sell to school districts probably won't be able to anymore.
Right.
And then, you know, the university cuts, that's going to impact cooperative extension, probably the experiment farms.
Yep.
So yeah, just everything, all the aspects of the budget seem to impact the farmers.
Yeah, agreed. Another opportunity to get involved, stay on top of the communication. Another reason to be a member of the Alaska Farm Bureau, in my opinion, is that you definitely have your finger on the pulse of all of this, and you've been gathering data and staying up to date on what programs are threatened, et cetera. And I know, you know, at Farmland Trust, we've been contacted by, you know, the media, by different farm groups, by individuals just wanting to express their support for the Division of Agriculture. And I know you're getting those calls as well. So I guess my line to people is that the governor's budget proposal is just that. It's a proposal. It's a starting point. The legislature has the opportunity to put programs back in, to put funding back in, et cetera. Of course, in this state, the governor kind of has final say with that veto power. So it's important to communicate not only to members of the legislature, but to, I think, the governor's staff as well. If folks were looking for, you know, bullet points, you know, for a letter to send to the legislature, et cetera, is that something that the Farm Bureau can provide, or what? How are we directing people in this time of need?
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. I know I've gotten some stuff out on Facebook, and then I've gotten letters from the Farm Bureau. But yes, if you're on our email list, there will be some bullet points coming out through our newsletter on thoughts that people can send.
Yeah.
Also, you know, everyone who's getting a renewal reminder, I'll be putting some bullet points in there that people can use.
Okay. Yeah, and as Amy, you mentioned in your talking about your former life and other jobs that you've had, that you worked down in Juneau for a number of years, and so you're pretty have a pretty good understanding of the goings on, how to communicate with your representative or senator, et cetera. What would you say the best way for folks to reach out and express their concerns? Should they be calling? Should they be trying to testify in a hearing? Should they be sending an email, making an appointment, and heading down to Juneau? What's the best strategy?
I would say that, you know, just reaching out, giving their legislator a call, definitely. You know, make that connection with their personal legislators. But then when there are the budget hearings, definitely come out and testify on those. It'll probably be a while yet before finance committees have the public comment period, but people can start calling. They can email. I would say call or email would be the best.
Okay.
And of course, you know, the legislators again didn't propose these cuts, so don't yell at them.
You know? That is a really key point, I think, that people not if you haven't been involved in this side of the equation before, it's kind of a you don't really know how the process works. And just, you know, I've been explaining that to a few of people in my circle that, you know, the governor gets to start. He starts by proposing his version of the budget. Then the legislature takes it up and they come back with their version. They're very rarely the same thing when they're done, right? And so then it goes into what's called, you know, conference committee, where they kind of the House and the Senate debate back and forth about their two different versions of the budget. Then they offer that back to the governor. And again, in Alaska, one of the only states where the governor has veto power, he can still then go in and line item out different programs, services, et cetera, from that budget. And in order to undo one of those vetoes, the legislature has to have a three-quarter majority vote to put something back in that budget that was already there, right?
Right.
They can't introduce any new programs at that stage, I don't think.
No, they can just override the veto.
Override a veto.
They can't put anything else. But yeah, so ideally, we would get the House and Senate to put back the same number.
Right.
Into the these ad programs.
Yeah. And so when people have asked me about that, you know, like which, you know, because there were such dramatic cuts specifically to the Division of Agriculture, you know, multiple programs, multiple services, jobs, et cetera. So people have said to me, Amy, you know, what do we advocate for? And the wording that I've used, and I don't know if you agree with this, Amy, but I have said, advocate for full funding, you know, return the amount of funding that was there. The Division of Agriculture budget has been reduced every year, I think, for the last 4 or 5 years. There was one year when they grew by one position, and that was the new state or the new veterinary program position. But, you know, it's been cut, it's been whittled, it's highly efficient, and we don't want to nitpick which programs are returned. We just want to go back to that full funding level that was in the Walker administration, I would say, would be our vote.
Yeah, and I would agree completely. I mean, agriculture has never received the amount of state funding that other industries have.
Right.
But yet we get cut more,
yeah,
a higher percentage,
yep,
when there are cuts. So yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for the little amount that Division of Ag and the dairy program, just dairy program isn't in Division of Ag, so I always try,
right,
to make sure people realize that.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that if the governor's proposed budget moves forward as it is today, the dairy sanitation program housed within DEC would be eliminated, and we would no longer be able to buy Alaska-grown milk on the grocery store shelves.
And it's really unfortunate because, I mean, we have the established dairy, Havemeister Dairy there,
yep,
in your neck of the woods, but,
yep,
but we also have, there's a dairy in Kodiak that's like months away from finalizing their certification process.
Right. Yep.
And then there's another one in Fairbanks that is starting the process.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it'd be a tremendous hit.
Yeah, put a lot of money in, wrote their business plan based on being able to sell to stores, and now they're looking at that going away.
Right.
So,
right. You know, I was working on a letter for another group that I'm involved with, and just talking about these different budgets. And some of the things that I pointed out in that letter that I think it's important to remind folks is that agriculture in Alaska is growing and it's thriving. We have more producers in the state this year than we had last year. We have more people getting involved in the industry. We're kind of at this tremendous momentum point. And to cut out the services and programs provided by the Division of Agriculture at this critical juncture is just, I think, would be devastating to the community and the industry as a whole. And it's just kind of the wrong time. Like, don't do it now. You've already whittled down this budget to just core services. If you continue to cut these programs, I think it would be it would have a devastating impact on the industry.
Yeah. I mean, all the farmers who have used the division to access retail markets. You know,
yeah, the loan program.
Yeah, it's, if you think about it too hard, I get a little not depressed, but
yeah,
I get frustrated.
Yeah, it's easy to get frustrated and to kind of be a Debbie Downer about it. Like, oh man, we have to fight for this budget again.
Yeah, I mean, it's always having to deal with people wanting to put expensive regulations on, and then, you know, the next thing they're cutting our support out from under us.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to stay positive sometimes.
Well, you came to the right show because I'm an eternal optimist, and I know that we can get through this, and I know that the producers are rallying together. Like I said, I've heard from a lot of different industry support groups who have called or emailed me and said, you know, what do we do? What are the action steps that we have to take? And like I said, we give them some bullets and some strategies and some ideas for communicating with their members of the legislature, talking to you there at the Farm Bureau, because a unified voice is always a stronger voice. So another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone this morning is Amy Seitz, the Executive Director of the Alaska Farm Bureau. We've covered a couple of the topics of Juneau, including MOV, and the budget down in Juneau. Amy, let's jump a little bit, unless there were other budget topics that you wanted to point out. I guess before I forget, tell people how to connect with you. Do you want to give out your phone number, your email, website address, et cetera, so people know how to get in touch with Amy Seitz with the Farm Bureau?
Yeah, and all of my information's on our website, which is alaskafb.org. And then my phone number is 252-5064. And my email address is amy.seitz@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And I'm accessible. Sometimes it takes me a little while to answer the phone.
Well, you've got 18 baby lambs that might need you all at once, right?
I know, and they were nice enough to have, seven of those ewes deliver in 48 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Last week was kind of busy.
I guess so. Well, what is some of the specific agriculture legislation? We've had a few bills introduced so far this session, right, that would have a direct impact on the the agriculture community. What can you tell us there?
Which I think the only bill that's actually introduced so far is Representative Tarr's Food Freedom Act.
Okay.
And I know that one is, the new version isn't up yet,
okay.
But I know because that's the raw milk labeling one, and she's going to be amending that to just strengthen the herd share program.
Right.
Now that House is organized, they have their committees, she's co-chair of House Resources again, so I imagine we'll be seeing some hearings on that at some point.
Okay.
But again, they're all busy with budget down there.
Right.
So I think that is, I noticed there was another one on trade, but I need to see what's
okay. So
going
not
on
a,
with that
not
one.
Too
but,
much
yeah, so
activity.
Not a lot of, yeah, not a lot of legislation yet. But we are, the Farm Bureau. We're trying to get the confidentiality bill back on the floor, back in the legislature. Trying to get some incentives for schools to do ag education programs.
Right.
So I know there are some bills being discussed, but I think with the slow organization in the House and then the budget, everyone being pretty shocked with that, there might not be as much legislation moving this year.
Yeah. Which I guess that makes good sense. I mean, it's a time to respond to the budget scenarios, and folks need to organize around their priorities. It might not be a great time for new legislation. We, of course, Representative Tarr has been a guest on the show a couple of different times. When I was down there in Juneau last month, she talked to us briefly about the Food Freedom Bill and her strategy there. I know she's had a couple listening sessions surrounding raw milk and just trying to respond to the needs of industry. And I know, that raw milk topic, it's such it's one of those topics that even within the agriculture community, there's a lot of varying opinions, people that believe that raw milk should be available in grocery stores all the way to people that think that raw milk should never be drank by anyone and everything in between. And that's okay. There's an opportunity for a lot of discussion when people are so highly opinionated about a topic. Obviously, for those that don't know, if you want to access raw milk today, you can through what you mentioned, a herd share program where you can buy you literally buy a share of a herd, or you buy a share of a cow, goat, et cetera. And then you have access to that animal's milk on a weekly, biweekly, et cetera, process or system. Everybody's program is a little bit different. There are some folks that think that there needs to be greater access, easier access, and more specifications along that. Can you also buy cheese from your herd share? Could you buy yogurt or other kind of value-added products through through that herd share type of program. Things have been done in other states to provide greater access, and things have been done in other states to make it much more restricted. So hot topic of discussion, and would encourage folks to get involved specifically with Representative Tarr. I mean, she's kind of leading the charge on that bill, right?
Yeah. She's sponsored that bill. This is her second year, I think, of having that bill. And yeah, definitely she wants to hear, especially if you're a herd share provider,
right,
what you want. I know looking at being able to do those value-added, the cheeses and yogurts to shareholders.
Yeah.
That's kind of the route she's going now. I think looking at North Dakota's law, if anyone wants to look that up.
Right.
But yeah, definitely get in touch with her office to voice anyone's thoughts on what that should look like.
Yeah, and just briefly, the confidentiality bill that you mentioned, again, that was introduced by the governor's office last session, right?
Yeah, and so that was really nice. It was supported by the administration, which is always helpful, and it was introduced by the governor through the legislature. And we worked closely with DEC was the one that worked it. And unfortunately, we were hoping it would be another administrative bill.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, all for those who don't know, all it does is protect farmers' personal information.
Right.
And not even farmers. Anyone who has information going through the Office of the State
Program,
or DNR, it just protects personal information.
Yeah, I like to call it a cleanup bill. It's something that most other industries already benefit from, that their personal information can't be FOIA'd, it can't be pulled from a state agency, et cetera. And I think it's a necessary bill, and hopefully a member of the legislature will pick that up and get it introduced, because it feels like it's got pretty good support across the board.
Yeah, and I think we will find a legislator. Again, it's just probably being slowed down by the budget and other issues. But I think we will be able to get something passed this, the 31st legislature.
Yeah, good. Well, Amy, our time is quickly coming to a close. I want to give you a second to talk briefly about benefits that we haven't already mentioned, benefits of being a member of the Farm Bureau. But is there anything else kind of Juneau topic-wise that you want to mention before we wrap up?
I would just reiterate that, right now, don't hesitate contacting legislators.
Right.
I mean, yes, we have had some support expressed to add funding back in, but if we don't talk to them,
They're hearing from other people, that's for sure, on all the other topics.
They're hearing from everyone else right now, too.
Yeah.
So, just stressing the need to contact legislators this year.
Yep, very, very true. And if folks need any assistance in finding out specifically who their representative or senator is, or any of those types of issues, I would say both Amy Seitz and Amy Pettit here at Farmland Trust, we're happy to help you get to the right person. Amy, quickly, how does one become a member of Farm Bureau? What does it cost? And what would you say are the top two benefits?
Well, $40 a year, so pretty cheap. You can join online on our website. You can call me. Or several conferences. I'm going to be down at the Food Policy Council or the Food Festival this weekend.
Good.
If anyone's at a conference that I'm attending, I always have membership forms.
Yeah.
Or getting involved with local members.
Right.
They normally know how to join.
Yep. And top two benefits.
I think having a voice in Juneau, and then the discounts. People really like the free shipping on Granger and the Napa discount.
Yeah. So many benefits to Farm Bureau membership.
I mean, narrowing it down to two.
All right. Well, Amy, I certainly find the benefit. I'm joined as both a Farmland Trust member and as an individual Alaskan. So I encourage folks to get involved. And I appreciate your time talking with me this morning on Ag Matters Radio and advocating for our agriculture industry through the Farm Bureau. Amy, thanks so much for being a champion for us.
Well, thank you for letting me be on your show again.
Yep. We'll see you this weekend in Homer.
All right. Well, have a good day.
All right.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.